Today's a day like no other. Hello, and no matter what season of life you are in, there is hope. Welcome to our daily broadcast, Hope for Your Heart. At this time, I would like to introduce Senior Pastor Calvin Corbett from Hickory Ridge Community Church in Chesapeake, Virginia, who has an encouraging message just for you.
Hello, welcome to Hope for Your Heart. This is Pastor Calvin. So glad that you're joining us today. We've been going through a series from the book of 1 Peter, and we're calling this series Game Changers. And today I want to talk to you about, I want to ask you a question. And the question is this: how is your building project? And everybody's building something in their lives, and they're building in the lives of other people. And so how are things going with your building project? I want to begin by sharing a funny little story. A man asked his friend, "What color are your pastor's eyes?" he asked. "I don't know. When he prays, he closes his eyes, and when he preaches, I close mine." Well, today, I hope that you're not closing your eyes. I hope that they're wide open, especially if you're driving today. Be careful out there if you're driving, and thank you for being courteous out there. Today, as we talk about this whole concept of a building project, everybody's building something. The question is, how well are we building? What are we building? You know, the Bible shares a contrast between two buildings that were built. The houses were the same, but the foundation was different. One foundation was built on the rock. The other foundation was built on sand. They looked identical from what we can gather from God's word. Both these houses were identical, same houses, different foundation. They both looked okay when the weather was okay, but when the storm came, the foundation was revealed. You know, storms don't destroy things. Storms reveal the strength of something. The storm revealed that one foundation was on sand, one foundation was on the rock. The one that was built on the rock stood. So is your life going to stand a test of time? I want to talk to you today about what God says in 1 Peter chapter 2. We'll be looking at verses 4 through 12. You know, almost everybody knows that there are six basic facts about magnets and how they behave. And you may never have thought about these facts, but you know these facts. Fact number one is that a magnet has two ends, they're called poles, one of which is called the North Pole, the other is a South Pole, and obviously by the name of it, the North Pole is a North-seeking pole, the South is a South-seeking pole. Two natures. We look at humanity. There are two natures that we have. Galatians 5:16 says, "Walk in the Spirit, you'll not gratify the desires of the flesh, for the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh." These two are opposed to each other, to prevent you from doing what you should do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under law. So which nature is controlling me? The North Pole of one magnet and the South Pole of the second magnet, well, the North Pole is one magnet, it repels the other magnet's North Pole. So we have a common saying, like poles repel, unlike poles attract. As Christians, we are both attractional on one hand, and we're repulsive. So are non-Christians. Righteousness is both attractional, and on the other hand, it can be repulsive. Sin is both attractional and repulsive. Isaiah the prophet put it this way, talking about Christ. He was despised, Isaiah 53:3. He was rejected by mankind, a man of suffering and familiar with pain, like one from whom people hid their faces. He was despised, and we held him in low esteem. So we've learned that a magnet has two poles, the North Pole and the South Pole. We learn also that magnets attract the South Pole, that attracts the opposite direction. We learn thirdly that a magnet creates an invisible area of magnetism all around it called a magnetic field. D.J. Kennedy, before he passed, wrote a book detailing the rise of charity in the name of Jesus over the centuries. This is a stark contrast to history before Christ. Historians record that prior to the coming of Christ, the ancient world left little trace of any organized charitable efforts. The work of the Holy Spirit through the attractional love and the service to others, as seen in the example of the parable of the Good Samaritan, we see that it changed the whole field, it changed the whole world. In a classic illustration that is still part of our language today, that parable of the Good Samaritan is still used today because when Jesus came, he changed the whole magnetic field. He became compassionate and mercy, and that was attractional to us. We see ministries that have raised up through the years like the Salvation Army and the YMCA, and not to mention all the hospitals throughout the country today that were started by Methodists or Baptists or Presbyterians. We discover that the whole atmosphere changed when Christians decided to follow Christ. We even got the Word of God out into very remote places. All of this changed the trajectory of the field in which we were involved in. Johann Gutenberg, for example, holds the distinction of being the inventor of movable type press. In 1455, Gutenheimer produced what is considered to be the first ever printed Bible. It was a Latin language Bible printed in Germany. Born as a different name, his name became Johannes Gutenberg. He preferred to be known as Gutenberg. As we look at his life, he took his business that led him to poverty, but he used it to get the Bible out. No invention, even to this day, has been more beneficial in getting the Word of God out into the masses than the Gutenberg press. As we look at America, when our nation was founded, we wanted to educate the masses. And what did we want to educate the masses with? The Word of God. The law of 1647 was called the Old Deluder Satan Act, and the name was a reference to the devil. And so our early Puritan founders and the pilgrims wanted Christians to get a stronghold in the Word of God so that the enemy wouldn't get a stronghold into their lives. And they said, if they're ignorant of God's Word, how are they going to defeat the enemy? So that is in reality how the public school system got started, so that we could teach our children the Word of God so that they wouldn't be attacked, they wouldn't be sucked into the schemes of the devil. Well, there's a fourth characteristic about a magnet, and that is that the north pole of a magnet points roughly towards Earth's north pole and vice versa. That's because Earth itself contains magnetic materials and behaves like a gigantic magnet. As Christians, our lives should always point others to Christ. Who is up in heaven sitting on the right hand of God? Sometimes we get dragged into the wrong direction, but the overall bent of our lives should be pointing to God in everything that we do. David put it this way in Psalm 150, verse number 6, "Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Let everything that I do point others to Christ." Well, here's a fifth characteristic of the magnet. If you cut a magnet bar in half, it's a bit like cutting an earthworm in half. You get two brand new smaller magnets, each with its own north and south poles. Well, this, of course, is a joke. You don't get two worms if you cut a worm in half, but you do get two magnets. When we are cut, we should reproduce. So magnets are made by putting magnetics under this magnetic field. This means that all of the domains spin in the same direction, which is what defines a magnet. Also, electricity running through a wire creates a magnetic field because it has a flow of electrons all going in the same direction. So as Christians, right, if we are cut, that magnetic field should be multiplied and spreading out to those that we come in contact with. Well, the sixth characteristic of a magnet is if you run a magnet a few times over an unmagnetized piece of metal, such as an iron nail, you can convert that iron nail into a magnet as well. This is called magnetization. So 1 Corinthians 1 says this, "Now I beg you, brothers, through the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfected together in the same mind and in the same judgment. For it has been reported to me among you, my brothers, that there is some from Chloe's household that are contending among you. Now I mean this, that each one of you says, I follow Paul, I follow Apollos, I follow Cephas, and I follow Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you, or were you baptized in the name of Paul?" Here we see that we are exhorted not to be involved in division, but we ought to be involved in making others just like Christ. Now, this is a difficult task, but it's not an impossible task. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 3, it says, as you come to him, the living stone, referring to Christ, rejected by men, but chosen by God, and precious in him, you also are like living stones. You're being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Peter is reminding us here that we are alive because of what Christ has done for us. We are called a chosen people in verse number 9. We are called a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people that belong to God, that we may be able to declare the praises of him to all those who are living in darkness. I want you to know that we are empowered to be kingdom builders. As you think about being a kingdom builder, I asked you at the beginning of the broadcast, what are you building? Are you advancing God's kingdom in your life? That's what God has empowered us to do, to be kingdom builders. We learn, first of all, that we are living stones, ever alive and making a difference by impacting other people. As you think about words that we use, have you ever eaten boneless ribs or had jumbo shrimp? Maybe you've spoken in a loud whisper or referred to something as awfully nice. Each of these phrases are like living stones. They're an oxymoron. Stones are dead. In fact, they never had life. What a perfect way to illustrate our condition. When Adam sinned in the garden, the spirit in him, that part of him that enabled him to commune with God, died. From that day, every human being has been born with a dead spirit. The stone which the builders rejected has become a cornerstone. God takes our spiritually dead lives and he breathes into us through the Spirit of God, life everlasting, and we become living stones. We notice also that we are chosen by God. God hand-selected us. Romans 3:33 says, I lay in Zion a stone that causes people to stumble and a rock that makes them fall, and the one who believes in him will never be put to shame. So you see that when we accept Christ, everybody else may stumble on the stone of who Christ is, but for us, we're not put to shame because it gives us everlasting life. So we are empowered to be kingdom builders because we are living stones. And secondly, we are empowered to be kingdom builders because we are building stones. That is, we're ever growing. You can be part of the most important building project in all of history. We learn in verse number 11 of 1 Corinthians chapter 3, for no man can lay a foundation other than one which is laid, which is Christ Jesus. Now, if any man builds on the foundation with gold and silver and precious stones, wood, hay, and straw, each man's work will become evident, for the day will show it because it is revealed with fire, and the fire itself will test the quality of one man's work. So our building materials, there are stones that are ever growing, but they're stones that can handle the pressure of time. In Daniel chapter 2:35, it talks about iron and the clay and the bronze and the silver and the gold that were crushed, and they became like chaff. And as they became chaff, the wind just blew them away, carried them away so that there was no trace of them after the wind came through and blew them away. But the stone that struck the statue became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. Now, this is a prophetic passage that Daniel is talking about, real interesting passage that he talks about, but he's driving home the fact that the whole earth is going to be filled one day with the glory of God. You know, we are precious to God. We are persecuted, and we may be going through difficult times, but God loves us, and he says that no power present or things to come, no height, no depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Oh, my beloved, do not fear. Follower of Christ, do not be afraid. That archenemy, that devil, he can't find you. He can't hurt you. He can't deter you. He can't discourage you. If you are under the love of God, you are invincible. Even before you are a twinkle in your mama's eye, God says that he formed your inward parts. He knitted you together in your mother's womb. David says, I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in the secret place. intrinsically woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written every one of them, the days that were formed for me, even as I was there, yet there was none of them. Psalm 139, 13 to 16. What a powerful illustration that we are precious in the sight of God. There's a story about a king of Spartan in ancient Greece who boasted to visiting monarchs about his mighty walls that were surrounding the city of Sparta. But the guest looked around and didn't see any walls. Finally, he said to the host, "I'd like you to see those walls. I'd like to see them. Show them to me." The Spartan ruler pointed out with great satisfaction to some disciplined and well-trained troops, part of the Spartans' mighty army. And he exclaimed, "There they are. Those are the walls of Sparta." Just as each Spartan soldier was viewed by the king as a brick in his mighty wall, so are we viewed by God as living stones built up into a spiritual house. The world may look out and say, "I don't see a whole lot of hope for you Christian folks. I think that you're on the wrong side of history." I want you to know that there are men and women throughout our country who are making a mighty wall, sharing the good news of Christ. These are the mighty men and women of God who refuse to bow to the knee to Baal. They are standing up for truth and they're standing up for righteousness. They may be not heard across every nook and cranny of this country, but they are alive and they are well. Here's the third thing that we see from this passage. We see that we have to build spiritual homes, ever Christ-centered homes. When we come to a living stone and we're shaped into living stones ourselves, we are built into a spiritual house. Christ is the builder here. He builds individual Christians into spiritual temples. It's a spiritual house because it's a house that houses the Holy Spirit. We're told that our body is the temple of God. That's why we ought to be careful how we treat our bodies, because the Spirit of God for the believers is living within us, within our bodies. This is also a reference, I believe, to the local church, not just individuals. We are to be growing in grace. 2 Peter 3:18 tells us that we who with unveiled face all reflect the Lord's glory are being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord. We are told in 1 Peter 3:18 that we are to grow in grace and in knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. As you think about building something powerful, as we look at the months ahead and the years ahead, how are you going to impact somebody's life? I often ask my congregation, who is going to be in heaven because of you? Who is going to come up to you one day and say, "Thank you for sharing the gospel with me"? I am looking forward to heaven because I want to see Jesus, and my dad's up in heaven. All my grandparents are up in heaven. I've got uncles and aunts in heaven. I've got cousins in heaven. I've got a lot of people that I know and love that are in heaven. I've got a lot of church members who have passed on and gone on before. They're in heaven. But I want to go see one lady in particular. Her name is Mrs. Banks. The reason I want to go see Mrs. Banks is because she was my first grade Sunday school teacher who led me to Christ. She opened up John 3:16 and said, "God so loved Calvin that he gave his only begotten son, that if Calvin should believe in him, Calvin should not perish, but have everlasting life." You know, that Sunday morning that I put my faith and trust in Christ, my life was radically changed. I became a priest. We are a holy priesthood. That means that we should be ever building. That means we have unrestricted access to God Almighty. That is a tremendous privilege. But that also is a heavy responsibility. We should be praying for others. John chapter 17 is really the model prayer that Jesus gave. And I know we think about the Lord's Prayer as the model prayer. The Lord's Prayer really is God's design for prayer. But John 17 is the actual prayer that Jesus prayed. And he prayed, first of all, that they would be one, as he is one with his Father, that praying for unity within the church. You know, it's amazing when you think about unity. You think about what would happen in Hampton Roads, and yesterday I looked out the window and I saw there were snowflakes coming down. It's been kind of cold. When I left my house this morning, it was 25 degrees. It's been kind of cold, and we don't often get a whole lot of snow here in the greater Hampton Roads area, but occasionally we do. You think about those little snowflakes that came down yesterday. By themselves, they were helpless. they couldn't accomplish a whole lot. It hit the ground and it would immediately melt. But do you imagine millions and millions and millions of those snowflakes teaming together? As they team together, they can shut down Hampton Roads. I promise you, if we had 6 inches of snow tomorrow, none of us are going anywhere. We're going to be staying at home. We don't have the equipment to remove it. We don't have salt and all that other stuff that other states in the northern part of the country have. A little bit of snow will shut us down. Can you imagine what would happen if a bunch of Christians actually decided to start working together, actually started being coming together as one? We learn from 1 Timothy 2:1, we are urged with prayer and supplication, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for all people. We learn that we are able to offer up a sacrifice of praise as we come together with our fruits of lips, giving thanks to His name. Our fifth point today, we are called to be building spiritual sacrifices. That is, we are ever to make ourselves acceptable to God, presenting ourselves as sacrifices. Romans 12:1 is a verse that you probably know, and you probably know it very well. I encouraged our congregation not too long ago to memorize this verse. Therefore, Paul urges us, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. We don't talk too much about sacrifice because we understand Jesus paid it all, but that's not the end of the story. Once we realize that He's paid all of our sins' debt, that doesn't mean we have nothing to do. That means we now begin to have something with purpose to do in our lives, and we're able to pass on that good faith to others. We're able to make ourselves as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. Number six, we learn that we are to be undeterred ambassadors, ever lighting the way, proclaiming the gospel. I love how Isaiah 28 talks about that. It says, therefore, thus says the Lord God, behold, I am the one who has laid a foundation in Zion, a stone, a tested stone, a precious cornerstone of a sure foundation. Whoever believes will not be in haste. And I will make justice the line and righteousness the plumb line, and hail will sweep away the refuge of lies, and waters will be overwhelming the shelter. Here we see giving the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. 1 John 1 talks about the Word giving life to us as it was created. That life brought light to everyone, and that light shines in the darkness, and the darkness cannot ever extinguish it. Well, you may be looking at your life and says, man, I have been trying to build my life on the foundation of Jesus Christ. Oh, I want to encourage you, my brothers and my sisters, keep on building. I remember when our church building was under construction, it seemed like they spent months just digging the foundation and testing the soil and getting the foundation of the building ready. I thought, are we ever going to have a building here? It took forever, but we were patient. Just keep trusting the Lord. Somebody put it this way in a poem called Keep On Building. An old man traveling a lone highway came at the evening cold and gray to a chasm vast and deep and wide through which was flowing a sullen tide. The old man crossed into twilight dim. The sullen stream held no fears for him, but he turned when safe on the other side and built a bridge to span the tide. Old man, cried the fellow pilgrim there, you're wasting your time in building here. Your journey will end with the closing day. You never again will pass this way. You have crossed a chasm deep and wide. Why build you this bridge at eventide? The builder lifted up his gray head. Good friend, in the path I have come, he said, there follows after me a youth whose foot must pass this way. This stream, which has been nothing to me, to that fair-haired youth may pitfall be. He too must cross in the twilight dim. Good friend, I'm building this bridge for him. You see, you are growing spiritually mature. Now you've got to pass that faith on to somebody else. I want to encourage you today, keep on building. Don't give up. The pressure may be upon you. You may be perplexed. You may feel like there's a lot of stress coming against you. But we learn from God's word, we're not to be anxious about anything. But in everything through prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto God. You've got people that are depending upon you. Don't give up. Hang in there. God will bring about a blessing in His time. You're going to be a blessing to the next generation. Your children and your grandchildren will one day rise up and praise you because you were faithful and you built into them. You built into them everlasting life because you are a living stone. Hang in there, my friend. I pray that God will protect you, that God will bring healing, that God will strengthen you for the journey that is set before you, and that you'll do abundantly more than you can ever imagine in advancing the kingdom of God. Thank you for listening today. God bless you.
Hickory Ridge Community Church is located at 3220 South Battlefield Boulevard, Chesapeake, Virginia. Sunday service times are at 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. We would love for you to join us. For more information, you go to our website at www.hrcc7.org. No matter what you're going through, remember, in Jesus Christ, there is always hope for your heart.